Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Liz Loza. I'm here with Matt Harmon. Producer Brett is, of course, in the building, on the laptop, making sure all of this sounds fine. He'll interject. He'll throw some drops around. He'll probably throw us a few curveballs. But we're so grateful to have him, because if it were just me and Matt trying to run this circus, my gosh, we might look like the New York Jets.
Oh.
Whoa.
God, you are such a pro.
I am a technician. A tactician. Technician and a tactician?
A little bit both.
Yeah.
Definitely a tactician.
LOL Jets, yo.
I mean, where do we even start?
Well, we could start with an article that was penned by our very own NFL senior writer for Yahoo Sports, Kimberly Martin. You can follow her on Twitter at by Kimberly A, and that's BYKIMBERLEYA.
Don't mess that up. Have you ever accidentally called her
Kim?
No, Kimberly, like, but not the same spelling as other Kimberlys.
Why would, if I'm calling her something, how's she going to know how
Twitter,
I'm spelling it?
On Twitter. I've tweeted at her and said Kimberly and spelled it incorrectly like a real jackass.
I'm sure she told you.
As someone who has a less than common name, I mean, Brett's a name, but people misspell it. Like, there's two T's. I mean, I have two T's. Some people do it with one T. Some people just call me Brent. Some people call me Brad.
Wait, do you know that when I was in college, I thought I was going to marry a man named Brent. I thought it was like such a sexy name. I didn't.
Brent. Is that whole story?
Brent is a trash
savage.
Name.
I know, but if I get called Brent, I'm like, ah! And so, you know what? As someone who has their first and last name is spelled all the time,
Raiders, there's a lot of ways to go there.
Yeah. There's no I.
There's no I, but most people don't even do it that, misspell it that way. Anyways, as someone who has a name that's misspelled a lot, I understand Kimberly's frustration.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm glad she told you, because sometimes you need to be told to stay in your lane.
Not true. I'm a very habitual lane stayer.
Okay, we'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
But she did pen an article, Miss Kimberly Martin, titled Jets Prove Why They're a Punchline After Ousting GM Mike Maccagnan, which was, I mean, she just like brought it in the title. Like,
yeah.
No. And we should also mention that Kimberly covered and was a beat writer for the Jets prior to coming to Yahoo Sports in her NFL senior writer capacity. So we should, the news is, right, that the Jets midweek, hump day, went ahead and fired GM Mike Maccagnan this after he was allowed to spend all the money in free agency, have his say of the draft. He and here's a shocker. Adam Gase isn't getting along with someone.
He is. That is interim GM Adam Gase
Excuse. Yes, because he did receive.
Slash head coach. Slash sitter of the on the Iron Throne currently.
All right, so Matt has some.
Well, sure,
let's save
that part. Let's just do the actual thought first, which is
I think Kimberly's 100% right. They prove why they're a punchline. Like, Jets are gonna jet. When Fireman Ed quits on your team, you got problems.
Fireman Ed. I don't care about Fireman Ed.
Okay, but I don't think he's coming out of retirement.
Now that old Big Mike is gone.
And that's the thing. It's not like Maccagnan was that great, right? Like,
no. This is the hard part. So silver linings here, you know, rebrand to the silver linings guy. Like, the thing is, this is the right move. It's just the wrong time. Like,
if this happened on January 5th,
everyone would
be like, okay, sure, that makes sense.
And if it could happen January 5th of 2019, it could happen in January 5th of 2020. But the fact that it's happening here in the middle of May, after, like you said, he gets to spend all this money in free agency, gets to throw a lot of it around, gets to plan the draft. I guess teams have basically decided that, because this has happened at other times too. I think John Dorsey was fired by the Chiefs in the middle of the offseason. This was kind of a different situation, but Dave Gettleman was canned in July, I think, by the Carolina Panthers. I could be missing up the timeline there, but that was definitely a mid-offseason firing. I guess they just think of it as, hey, this guy's been building the draft board, knows the scouts, whatever. Because otherwise, you see what like will go on with the Raiders soon, which is they're going to clean house of all their scouts because they're left over from the Reggie McKenzie era. So,
well, they already sent him home.
Right. So, you're either working with a powerless group of scouts with a GM that doesn't want them, or you're working with a GM that you know is trash, but at least knows people in the building, has been working on the draft board. So I get why it's a complicated decision. But yeah, there's no way that this doesn't make the Jets look dumb, and especially because of the Gase factor, as you mentioned.
Also, Adam Gase, what? How did he earn this? Like, I don't understand how this guy falls upward about his post, his press conferences, his losing record with the Dolphins. Like, what about this guy screams, give me your trust?
But he wins power struggles left and right. I mean, he won several in Miami. Finally, eventually, I guess, lost one at the end. But and now he's
you're
here,
right. He's there been was here like for 4 coaches months. Snorting blow in Miami, and they're like, I mean, come on, that's just an anomaly. That can't be from
that's
the
Mike
top
Tannenbaum's
down.
Fault.
Get out of here.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks bad for Gase, who, by the way, I think the biggest concern like this year for this, because as we're saying, Maccagnan, not a good GM. No, it's the what?
Well, I was going to say there is a redemption. There's redemption potential for Maccagnan if Sam Darnold develops into.
He'll be remembered for that. For all the mistakes that he made, he will be remembered for Sam Darnold, even though.
Comes your Sam Darnold.
No, 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 no. I like Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold's going to be good. But I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to give him a big pat on the back for drafting Sam Darnold. Like, Brett could have made that pick.
I think Brett probably would have
taken
Rosen. Josh Rosen. I knew it.
Damn it. Well, anyone else could have made that pick. And, I mean, even if, they probably wanted, and is Baker Mayfield's a good quarterback too, but, like, they could have taken any of those quarterbacks there. My point is I'm, like, not really willing to wave off the rest of his bullshit because of that.
The fan base probably will remember
it'll
him.
It'll leave a soft little moment in their heart. Sure, I get that. But I think the bigger problem this year for this, because, as we're saying, Maccagnan, whatever, who cares? But the fact that this mostly seems like the big disagreement between these two guys was the addition of their two marquee free agents. Apparently, you know, I think Rap Sheet has reported this. Manish Mehta also reported it.
Manish Mehta had himself a seizure on the Twitter.
We don't need to talk about Manish. But I mean, like, so I guess basically Adam Gase belongs to Running Backs Don't Matter Twitter, because he did not want to pay Le'Veon Bell the big money that it took to bring him in. And oh, by the way, he didn't want to pay CJ Mosley
right.
the money that it took to bring it. So now these two guys have to go play for the team. I think Mike Lombardi, who's not with the Ringer anymore, but he said on his new podcast that like Gase wanted to bring in Tevin Coleman. And take the discount route, which right. I think we all talked about.
Also, Tevin Coleman and Le'Veon Bell have the same agent.
Yeah.
So that agent screwed Tevin Coleman.
This is wild to me. I mean, he needed to take care of his marquee client in this scenario.
Right, but it's not like the phone. It wasn't like you're not calling the same person. You're having conversations with the same agent every day. You could have doctored up a deal.
If this is all true, yeah, for sure. And like, it just is not. It's not good that these two guys who are supposed to be some of the pillars of the team.
They're special.
They reset the linebacker market, especially for CJ Mosley, who is a good player, but not like he's not a Luke Kuechly level, you know, off ball linebacker.
And Bell, just to recap, agreed to a 4-year, $52.5 million contract in March that includes $25 million guaranteed.
And the fact that the head coach doesn't sign off, like, these guys have to go play for the team now. And this is
25 million guaranteed ish.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of,
there's a lot of ish now.
It's not good. It can't possibly be a comfortable situation.
I mean, it's New York.
I know. And I feel bad for Sam Darnold and all this to come back to it.
So this is your got take.
Yeah. My Game of Thrones take this morning was that, I mean, for one, the Jets are writing a better Game of Thrones script than the Game of Thrones writers, number one. And number two.
That's so tired.
Look, it's just a fact. They're not
leaving coffee cups in scenes. We know.
They're not. Well, Big Mac, that was his. But Mike Maccagnan was the guy who.
That's
remember
right,
that famous photo
cups,
where he just had all those coffee cups around him? So he actually probably would leave a damn coffee cup in the set. But look, it's just a fact. Game of Thrones writers not really landing this ship. They're going to land the ship, but they're not going to do it. It's going to be a bit of a crash landing.
Or maybe the internet needs to calm down and
both things,
check their emotions.
Both things can be true. Now, so I think the Jets are writing a more compelling, like, wow, stunning drama. And the take here is that I think in the Jets Game of Thrones scenario, Sam Darnold is unfortunately left to play the role of Jon Snow, who basically throughout season 8 ignores that, oh, something might not be going so well here with Daenerys, and just consider, by the way, spoiler alert, but GFY, if you haven't watched the damn show yet. And anyways, too late for you. You know, throughout the season, Jon's basically just, you're my queen. That's all that matters. You're my queen. Uh-huh. And guess what? Then he doesn't realize something's wrong until the fire is literally burning around him in the most recent episode. And I feel like that's unfortunately how Sam Darnold has to be like, no, things are fine. Gase is my head coach. Gase is my head coach. Until the fires of Gase's drama
burn everything down around him. Unlike Sam Darnold, doesn't pledge his full allegiance to Daenerys. Like,
I mean, kind of. Yeah. He just doesn't. He
she
just
asked
doesn't.
Him to do that. She asked him to get down, and he was like, whoa, auntie.
Well, and I don't think that Sam Darnold wants to bang Adam Gase either. But
it is Sam Darnold's opportunity now. He has to decide whether he is truly all in, halfway in, or going to take some sort of stand. Stop it. You're a child.
Sorry.
And I appreciate that you're trying to. I also appreciate that Avery, whoever made the graphics that you tweeted
Avery.
Out.
It was at Avery Abroad. Avery underscore Abroad on Instagram.
I am going to hope that Sam Darnold goes the route of Sansa Stark instead of Jon Snow. That he
both
takes
red
this
hair.
As a learning experience and moves forward and becomes more of a tactician, to use that word again, and can evolve in his business ship. The way that Sansa has. Also, why is no one comping Adam Gase to Lord Baelish? Because that dude is Littlefinger 100%.
In actuality, like the real Photoshop that should have been done was the scene in the very first episode or the very first season when Peter Baelish comes behind Ned Stark, puts the knife to his throat and says, I did warn you not to trust me. He says that that should have been Adam Gase as Lord Baelish, Ned Stark as Mike Maccagnan.
I got to just say, as producer of this podcast, your English accents are really, like, I just didn't even see those coming. And they're really quite good.
I have a few untapped talents for the podcast.
I'll write that into future episodes of the show.
Terrific.
So from Game of Thrones, let's talk about Vikings, because I think that's pretty
seamless.
Kyle Rudolph, there are rumors, they're not doing his deal. Right?
No.
The Vikings could save $7.6 million if they move him. They just used a second round pick on my boy, Irv Smith Jr.
Irv.
So.
Swerve and Irvin.
Let's first say, do you think Irv Smith has a potential to make an impact in his rookie year, assuming Kyle Rudolph moves on, and also noting, of course, the trope that we have all become familiar with, which is that
rookie
tight ends
don't develop as quickly as other positions.
Correct.
I think as a pass catcher, yeah, especially because the reason I liked this pick was that I think behind Diggs and Thielen, and honestly, this includes Rudolph too, who is fine at this point. I think he averaged under 10 yards per catch last year. He's not a downfield element at all. Like, they're weak behind Diggs and Thielen. And again, like I said, Rudolph fits into that. I think he's just like an average starting NFL tight end. And I think Irv has more potential to be a downfield presence, a guy that, you know, he's not quite like his, you know, O.J. Howard, the guy he followed up at Alabama. But I do think both those guys are really good downfield tight ends. And you got more exposure to Irv Smith doing that than you did O.J. Howard a few years ago at Alabama, who's used very, very differently.
Also, I think that this is one of those, the O.J. Howard, Irv Smith changing of the guard at Alabama was a, to your branding, a silver lining moment for Irv Smith, because while O.J. Howard was still there, he was used almost exclusively as a blocker his first year, his true freshman year at Alabama, which gave him opportunities and part of the technical part of his game that a lot of tight ends don't develop or have trouble developing once they get to the NFL. So he's already, while he's still green as a blocker, he is miles ahead, and this was part of the reason I liked him so much ahead of the draft, than like Noah Fant. Maybe not as much as Hockenson, but he is not just a receiving tight end. But then when Howard left to the NFL, he saw like this massive uptick in usage as a receiver.
Yeah.
And he closed out his career at Alabama with the sixth most receiving yards and second most touchdowns among tight ends. And I just want to give at the FF Ghost, who puts out the Orange Report, a shout out for that stat.
Here's the thought. you know, more of a wide view thought with the Vikings. Like, if they trade Kyle Rudolph, and I get it, like, everybody on the team has to take a pay cut except Kirk Cousins right now. Like, at this point, that's where we're at. But if they trade Kyle Rudolph, who's a veteran, who is definitely at this point a better blocker.
He'll be 30 in November.
Yeah. And again, I don't think he's that good of a player.
He's coming off his worst statistical season since 2015.
But he is a better blocker. He certainly is probably a better player right at this moment than Irv Smith is. The Vikings, you know, some of their moves continue to show us, like, they want to be a run first team. You know, they hire the Gary Kubiak crew and they get an offensive lineman. Mike Zimmer throws a fit at the end of last year because Flip is not running the ball enough. However, they also have a ton of money invested in their quarterback. They have a ton of money invested in their two elite wide receivers. Their moves, and now if they're going to go with Irv Smith at tight end, who is more of a move guy, even if he's slightly a bit of a better blocker, their moves are a little bit disjointed to me. That I know everybody's willing to just say, like, yeah, the Vikings are totally turning over into a run-heavy team. I don't know. Maybe they're like the 15th, 14th, 13th most run-heavy team.
Well, there's what you want to do and what you can do.
I think if they wanted to, they could commit to either, but it just makes no sense to have two elite advantages at the wide receiver position and not want to funnel your
offense. Sometimes you can love
two
things at the same time.
Can you?
And not go all in. Sometimes it takes a lot of, like, courage to go all in, and you just don't have, like, the circumstances at your disposal to do it.
No, I mean, that's totally fair. And I think that is probably where the Vikings are at. They're halfway through their commitment to this boring run heavy team that they know is, I mean, that's not the real way you win in the NFL. And then there's obviously the way you can win, which is with a great passing game, but they don't have the resources to do it. They might also not have the quarterback to do it. So who knows?
Where do you want to see Kyle Rudolph land? Do you not care?
Don't care, really.
Really?
I mean, if he lands with the Patriots,
I'll put
my performative hat on and go out on Twitter and be like, oh, this is great. I mean, but who gives a shit? I don't care.
Well, I care.
Tell me where, then. You can care for me.
I wouldn't mind seeing him go. This is not for fantasy necessarily, but I think going to the Bengals is an interesting place to go.
They just took a tight end Drew Sample in the second
round.
They
sure did.
He of 25 catches the senior year or whatever.
I just wrote limited receiving experience because I was going to be kind.
Well, there you go. One of us is kind.
I mean, he did flash potential. But also, Kyle Rudolph is from Cincinnati originally. Could go home. We can't really be sure of Tyler Eifert, so there's a nice bridge there. I also feel like Houston, do something.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. Maybe I care about Houston.
Ryan Griffin punched his way. I mean, he was partying with us in Nashville, clearly. He punched his way potentially off of the roster.
I wondered who that was. What about Pittsburgh?
Didn't they
just... They have Vance McDonald.
Yeah.
Yay, Vance McDonald. Let's get that. I mean, what about New York? They have Chris Herndon, who you lunatics all have ranked as like 11 to 13 at the tight end position.
I don't think that.
Except Andy Behrens, professorial Andy Behrens. Yeah, he's the hottest. So, I mean, why not?
I'm right here.
You killed me like 4 episodes ago to my face in this very room.
About what? Date, marry, kill?
Yeah, you literally
killed me.
Oh, killed you.
Yeah.
You literally killed me.
I love Andy Behrens, but I am hotter than Andy Behrens. And I can live with that myself. I don't need your validation about
nor
it.
Nor should you.
Okay. He probably has better legs. He is taller. Anyway, I think Houston is a nice place.
We got, what is this, the under on 10 minutes to have Brett put his face in his hands in panic? Yes.
There was a second where you said he's the hottest, and I was thinking, like he's really hot at picking games.
No,
we were objectifying.
Being a football prognosticator.
No, like spicy looks.
I understand now.
Like underrated hot.
Andy Behrens
he runs a lot.
He runs
so
marathons.
Can confirm about the legs.
But he's got the professor, like the you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like you'd really hate to see him disappointed. Also, too, with Andy, like, you know, we're talking about aging earlier. Guy looks great with the gray hair.
Looks great. Rocks it very well.
I don't think I'm ever going to look that good with gray hair. So
you got a haircut.
I did. At least both of us are rocking changed hairs. Brett has said nothing about it, of course.
No. Brett, what do you think of our hair?
I did notice it this morning. I didn't know if I should say anything.
About whose hair?
Matt's. I said something about your hair last week, Liz.
Yeah, but she's
I got it done yesterday.
You got it done. No, but it was.
But it's a full changeover. This is different.
Hue It's a different hue than it was. And it was a changed.
Yeah, I dyed my hair
color
a different
2 weeks ago.
Would you like to tell the people, because this is an audio format. I don't know if we're forgetting that people are supposedly listening to this. Would you like to tell the people what color it is?
Pink.
You can find it on our Instagram at LizLoza_FF.
Thank you, Matt. Matt also got a haircut.
I did.
I like it.
Thank you.
I think you look roguish.
Roguish.
Yeah.
Do we think let's go back to age. Do we think it makes me look younger or older?
I think it makes you look more current.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be posting any pictures of this because who cares? But I do think that, yeah, it was time for a change. I'd had the like big, long coif thing for like 4 years and I was over it.
I think he could go even more floppy.
Well, the coif is there.
What do you want me to like, look like I just woke up, got out of bed?
And we've gone pretty short on the sides, like a two almost.
One and a half, baby. Okay,
see, is that a barber shop reference? Yeah.
That is. Not the movie, but there's sizes to the
of razors
the clippers on the
razor.
Yeah,
you got to go
this
short.
Is a great podcast.
Do you guys want to talk about running back rankings?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
I would love to talk about running back rankings.
All right,
since I don't do them, and you guys do, and I just get to sit in my ivory tower of judgment
every day. So I posted a poll on the Instagram,
which by the way is. At LizLoza_FF.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
At MattHarmon_BYB, which stands for?
Backyard Banter.
So Brad Evans, Andy Behrens, and I are writing these fantasy football team previews. We just did the New York Giants. You can find that at Yahoo Fantasy Sports in the app on the website.
It's actually really hard to find the rankings, if I could be honest.
I'm not talking about the rankings. I'm talking about the articles we're writing, but thanks for paying attention. So there was a question posed as to whether or not Saquon Barkley would be a top.
Ah.
As in the number one.
I did read this.
On my Instagram. Or
well, you want to know why I read it? Because on your Instagram, which again, at LizLoza_FF.
I'm
going to
kill him. Oh my God.
I went, like, I was watching your stories.
What time of night?
Oh my God. This show has gone completely off.
3:38 p.m.
Okay.
So an acceptable time. And so I was watching it, and you'd bleeped out who the top running back on your rankings was, and I was so curious.
You didn't swipe up because I don't have a check mark.
Right, me neither. It's on both radars, by the way, Instagram. So I was so curious. I was like, I'm going to go to the website, and if I found it, you jokers can find it out there. I found the article, and I read who your top running back was.
All right.
So great Instagram work.
But I put a poll and asked people the same question, not knowing my answer yet. Would Saquon Barkley be the number one running back in your rankings, or would someone else? And most people said, I think it was an 80% of the poll believed that Saquon should be the number one ranked running back. You and I both disagree with that.
Sheep.
So who is your number one, and why?
Well,
is Saquon
not? Well, I don't have to do rankings, so I think Alvin Kamara would be my number one running back.
That's not my number one. That's
I
my
know
number
it's
two.
Not, but because you have the safest of the bunch at
Zeke
number one. Yes,
is my number one, and I feel like the answer to that is if you look at Zeke's numbers after Amari Cooper joined the squad post Halloween, post the team's bye, he averaged 40 more scrimmage yards per week.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there you know. Boxes weren't as stacked, yada, yada, yada. So we had more room to run. And I feel like that offense, assuming Michael Gallup also takes a step forward. I know you love Michael Gallup. Crazy good separator.
He's solid.
Uh-huh. Then that trend should continue. So I am making him my number one because he is, I think, has the highest floor of these guys. Alvin Kamara, I understand he's the best athlete. No, Saquon might be a better athlete, but he's in the best position given
he's in
his
the best
athletic
offense of these three. He also, I mean, he's the most explosive pass catcher. Obviously, McCaffrey's up there. You know, and we're saying top four of this top four tier one that I think is universal is Elliott, Barkley, Kamara, McCaffrey. But everybody has the order a little mixed up, and that's what we're sitting here.
That's your first tier.
That's what pretty much everybody's first tier at this point. But the reason I like Kamara so much is again best offense. You know, as Breeze, I think, put on tape last year, struggles to throw the ball downfield. That's only more good news for Kamara. And also, by the way, Mark Ingram is gone. Latavius Murray's there, but Ingram to Latavius Murray is a downgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he would be in line for less touches, maybe more around the goal line, sure. But Kamara early in, you know, 2018, when Mark Ingram was suspended, was a true workhorse, stud, whatever, bell cow back to start the season. I think we could see something closer to that throughout the duration of 2019 here this year.
Assuming that his body can withstand all of that.
Which I think we don't have any reason to not believe that, right?
No, it's just a hypothetical. It's just a hypothetical. Theory. I mean, especially if your quarterback starts to tank it, as he did down the stretch, and you're being relied upon more once your body has been through the wear and tear. And they do play in a dome, so that fixes things. To the Saquon part, though, if people want to talk about the first half of Zeke's season without Amari Cooper and extrapolate that out to the whole season, and that's why they're not putting Zeke number one, then you have to do the same thing for Saquon if OBJ isn't there. Because when OBJ was sidelined for the last month, 4 weeks of 2018, two of those games, and I know YPC is, quote Dalton, a noisy stat. It's not everything, but Barkley had he averaged his worst YPC of the season, 2.2 and 2.0, two of those weeks. And then another week that he faced the Redskins, he ripped off some 78-yard touchdown.
Yep.
Yes, he is an incredible athlete, tons of breakaway ability, but you can't rely on that week to week. So,
and his other big game was Dallas in week 17, 17 carries, 109 yards and a touchdown on the ground and four catches for 33.
And that's when they were sitting all their starters.
Yep, DeMarcus Lawrence played about half the game, Leighton Vander Esch played about half the game, Byron Jones played about half the game, whatever. So yeah, I mean, it's just, you're not worried about the floor of Saquon Barkley, but you have to look. I don't care what people think about how good he is. Like, you have to admit at this point that we've seen examples of great backs be tanked by bad offenses. I don't think the Giants are going to be so bad that they're like 2018 Cardinals or, 2016 Rams, the offenses that tanked David Johnson or Todd Gurley. I don't think they'll be that bad, but there's a scenario where Eli Manning is that bad because he's another year closer to completely done. There's another scenario where rookie Daniel Jones gets in there, and that's not a great situation. And if we're talking about stacked boxes and all that, the Giants have good receivers. Golden Tate, good receiver. Sterling Shepard, good receiver. Evan Ingram, good tight end. But those guys are all small ball receivers.
That's right.
There's no vertical threats here.
Which means they're all going to eat each. I mean, and of course, this is all side note. The thing that makes me crazy about Gettleman, because he's not admitting that Eli's washed, but he's only giving him short to intermediate
money receivers. Yeah.
So it's like, well, you obviously know that your quarterback doesn't have an arm left because you're giving him dink and dunk options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a small ball offense. It really operates over the middle of the field, inside the numbers. That's
small
it.
Small balls. I want to talk about, we're not going to do team previews, even though, because
can we talk McCaffrey for a minute?
Oh, sure. Go for it.
I think I could easily make a case.
I know
he's
you
number
love him.
One. Yeah. I mean, you hate him because he's ripped. I get it.
It's not why I hate him. I feel like Curtis Samuel, I can't speak fully to this because you recently charted DJ Moore and you have surprising things to tell us, but you want to tease those a little bit. I don't have that data.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Curtis Samuel came on a lot last year. I expect him to do more of that. I just don't think that Christian McCaffrey, this is kind of my Alvin Kamara issue. I just don't think that guy is built to be an every down back for 16 games.
I just don't get that, though, because we've seen him do it now once in the NFL, and we saw him do it consistently in college. He was a bell cow back. I mean, yeah, he's small, but he's big as a guy like LeSean McCoy, who's held. I mean, he has injury issues every now and again, but he's been a bell cow back several times
but
in the NFL.
The Carolina Panthers,
I wish,
have now moved from size to speed. So they have lots of overlap in their weaponry, in the skill sets of their weaponry. So I have to imagine that, I know Riverboat Ron likes to, play things pretty obviously, but I have to imagine that, Samuel is a diverse is a versatile player who can be used out of the backfield as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think if all things work out for the Carolina Panthers offense, I think you're looking.
How many times has that happened in your lifetime?
Never, ever, ever. And I don't believe it will this time. But this also has to take them realizing the talents of their own players, which I don't think they will. They need Curtis Samuel to emerge as their outside X receiver or outside primary flanker receiver in a way that like Stephon Diggs has for the Vikings, like that type of player. And then they need DJ Moore to be more of that big slot receiver flanker hybrid, like a Adam Thielen. So I think they have the outline for that type of receiving core, but that's where I think both these guys, I don't think Curtis Samuel is some like hybrid player at this point anymore. I think he needs to be a full-time receiver. But there's a lot of, if everything works out and Greg Olsen stays healthy, which that's unlikely. Yeah, I could see that maybe McCaffrey doesn't see the target volume that he has over the course of his first two seasons. But we know that he has, you know, Matt Forte-like potential to push for 80, 90, 100 catches every year.
You got no love for Elijah Holyfield?
Not really. Maybe even, is he going to make the team?
I think so.
I mean, they drafted a running back before they signed him as an undrafted free agent, right, too.
I think he'll make the team if for no other reason than name recognition, but...
be a nice, you know, story. Panthers like those guys from the Southeast, too.
Are you done with your love letter to CMC?
It didn't even really even come out like a love letter. I lost it there midway through.
He's my number four ranked running back. It's not like I'm down on the guy.
I don't think it's crazy to have Barkley as four. I mean, that's the and we're talking consensus number one, but I don't know. I could see him being fourth.
Do you want to talk about over on what you pitched this in that last segment? So why don't you?
Yeah, so I think we're not quite at team previews yet, but like I thought it'd be fun to talk some little like over under post draft over unders for some of these teams based on what we know about them now. You know, just kick it around a little bit. You know, very casual sort of situation here. But and then Brett assigned us the two most boring divisions, which I didn't see coming. But we're gonna talk AFC East and NFC East.
Poor Brett, look at you.
I'm getting killed on this podcast, and it will continue.
I got literally killed on this podcast, so...
okay.
And Liz threatened to kill me again earlier in this podcast.
So. Maybe we're just getting the worst part over with. Maybe. And where there's something exciting for people to come back to next. Which divisions would you like to do next week, Matt?
Let's talk about it off air.
Okay.
All right, so first up, Buffalo Bills, 6.5 wins, over, under. Liz, you taking the over or the under there?
I have looked at this, and I believe they have 8 games at home. Which is
most
not,
teams
yes.
do.
But
well, some teams play in London. Some
right.
hypothetically will play in Mexico City, but we'll see.
They had 6 wins last year, FYI.
They did. I am going to go over, which is what I said in our team previews, because I do feel like they'll get somebody in Orchard Park. They'll get enough players in Orchard Park, enough games in Orchard Park to make that happen. So I'm going to go over. I think Sean McDermott, they went 9-7 the year before.
Had a sneaky good offseason.
Yeah. They've got John Brown. They've got Cole Beasley.
And on defense, they have, I mean, I think Ed Oliver is a perfect fit next to star Lutulele. Kind of gives Sean McDermott his K1 short that he had for years in Carolina, that type of player. They get Cody Ford in the second round of the draft to add to that offensive line. They have Devin Singletary if they do move on from LeSean McCoy. Also have Frank Gore. I mean, I'm with you.
TJ Yeldon.
Ugh,
one of those guys isn't making the team.
At least two
could not make the team.
Well, that's the thing. If they cut LeSean McCoy, then I think you could see them have Frank Gore, Devin Singletary, and TJ Yeldon.
They won't do that, though, because Gore and McCoy are, quote, close. I think that there's some weird, like, ego shift. Like, you're not bringing Frank Gore on for his theoretical 7th final run to do something like that.
Yeah, no, I guess I could see that. I'm going to go under. I could see them being a 6-10 team. It just depends on how you feel about Josh Allen. Like, if Josh Allen's going to not take that next step, they're probably going to be an under 7-win team. And for me, I don't see Josh Allen being at that
place. I think
place
they get
yet.
7 wins. Miami, 5.
Give me the under.
Give me all the overs.
Shock. I mean, big surprise. Dolphins fan, lifelong Dolphins fan in 2019, Liz Loza.
They're going to beat the Patriots in one of the two meetings. They can
it's
split
an early
that
one
season.
Too.
Yes, when the Patriots are still rounding into form.
Yeah, they're doing that thing that they do every year.
So I think 5 wins. Yeah, sure. Yes. No, probably not.
No, I mean, give me the under. Not. I mean, they have the potential to be an interesting offense with Kenny Stills and Bert Alert and Mike Gesicki, maybe under a smarter coaching staff, Dwayne Allen and your boy Josh Rosen. But I just don't trust that offensive line. I don't trust them not to get Rosen obliterated.
Well, I also think that their offensive line is trying to find an identity as a run blocking unit versus a pass blocking unit. If you look at the changes they made, so I'm not entirely sure that's their objective, but
New England 11, give me a push on that one.
Sure.
I think they're 11-5 team.
I don't care.
You don't care?
I mean, no, don't care about the Patriots? No.
Yeah, who cares? Moving on. Jets, 7.5. How do you feel about this one?
I'm going to go under.
I'm going to go over.
Really?
Yeah. I think, for all of my Jon Snow takes, I really do like Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. The solid but not spectacular cast of weapons they've put around him. Line got better this year with Kelechi Osemele added to the group. Le'Veon Bell. I do think Bell.
That's like the linchpin for me.
Is Bell?
Yeah.
Running backs don't matter, though, okay, according to his own head coach.
So that's problematic. I mean, could this be an 8-win team? Right. Yeah, it could be an 8-win team. I just imagine there to be a complete train wreck down the stretch. Like, something happens. I don't know if Greg Williams, like, they get into some fight. I just don't see this ending well.
Oh, it's volatile.
It's on its way to happening.
But I mean, you're
the first 10-15 minutes of this podcast about
slamming the Jets. Yeah. And yeah. Every, yeah, no, I mean, look, it's a volatile bet here, but
eight wins.
Yeah.
If I'm looking in actuality and folding in psychobabble, then under.
Fair enough. I mean, I can't really debate that.
Dallas, 9.
This one was tough for me. This is the toughest one of the bunch. Where'd you go?
It's a push, but I'm going to say over. I think that of the division, they are the best team.
I disagree with you there, but I...
You disagree? You think the Eagles are better?
Yep. I'm taking... And they're 9.5. I'm taking the over for sure on that one.
If Carson Wentz can stay healthy and finally fully...
Well, I think we've seen him in full breakout form in his MVP level 2017
season. They certainly did
season.
Everything possible this year to make him the franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
But he has to stay healthy. He has to own the locker room in a different way. Whether or not people think that report was trash,
sure,
it still existed.
Sure. Well, I think if your biggest question is your quarterback, who we already know is good, that's a pretty good set of questions there for the Eagles.
You already know he's good, but you don't know if he is consistent.
I'm confident that he's a consistent player.
So you're going to... So 9.5, you believe over.
I believe over.
I just think that Dallas is like a more complete team.
I think they're the more predictable team. Sure, I guess. I mean, they're very predictable. But I don't know. With Dallas, yeah, no, I see. I'm confident that Dallas is a good roster. Like, going back to last week's episode, they have a lot of questions in terms of their team building based on all these contracts. Like, you know, Amari Cooper, Byron mm-hmm. Jones, whatever. Zeke down the line. But I'm confident that they're going to be a good team this year because I think they have a good defense. They have a good running game. And the quarterback is good enough.
Giants, 6.
Under. Hey, this has been an anti-Giants podcast for a long time.
Washington, 6.5.
I'm going to go under. Oh, you're going to go over?
Yeah.
What?
Because I think that Jay Gruden is sneaky enough to put trash together in such a way that he can get 7 wins.
And still get fired.
And probably still get fired because Dan Snyder is, I mean, Dan Snyder's like...
The worst.
King Joffrey. Like, he's just unpredictable and I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, give me the under on this one. Their roster is bad. They don't have a good defense. They don't have a good secondary.
What was their record last year?
Were they 6-7 and 9?
Seven.
I mean, so I could easily be 6-10 with a rookie quarterback.
Case Keenum is there.
Oh, great. Oh, terrific. So after he the bed for a few weeks, they've got a rookie quarterback to throw in there with a group of pass catchers who has nothing of interest.
The pass catchers are problematic. I will admit that. Yeah.
And they've got a running, they've got a stable, they want to be a run first team. They've got a stable of running backs that includes a running back who could turn to dust at any moment in Adrian Peterson.
Like that.
They have four because they have Chris Thompson still kicking around there who also could turn to dust at any moment. They have Bryce Love, who probably won't make an impact this year. And then they have Darius Geis, who they say maybe ready for training camp. You know, this was not like a clean ACL tear.
No, there were lots of setbacks.
We're good. So talk about problematic. The knee situation.
There's not a lot of good knees in Washington.
So give me the under on this one for sure.
So Matt is going to take the under. I feel like Jay Gruden is sneaky. And might do something. Oh, man, did we talk about this online or offline that if like Jay got fired, he would end up with his brother?
You did. I don't know if it was offline or offline.
I don't remember.
But you did say that to me once.
Clearly, it made an impact.
I mean, I remembered you said it. I just don't remember the time, place, or if it was into a microphone.
All right, so we're getting ready to tape our voicemail of the week, but instead, a very special guest stopped by. It's Boban Marjanovic. Welcome, Boban.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Star of John Wick 3.
First, I must say, you must really like introduce my name. You say my name so perfect. My first name and last name. It was like, wow. Are you practice?
No, man. This is a professional.
She's a pro.
Okay. Sorry. My fault.
You can now stay for quite a bit. Thank you. So I want to talk about John Wick. Really, let's get into it because he's obviously a human weapon. This franchise has been incredible. He kills everyone, as you know. Is there anyone?
You guys must see that. I don't know why they kill everybody.
Maybe he doesn't kill everybody. He kills a lot of people.
Making assumptions based on history.
Yeah. He kills a lot of people. He is John Wick.
So, other than potentially maybe not saying anything, John Wick, is there any other person you'd want to be or character you'd want to be killed by on screen?
Halle Berry.
Okay. Did you work with her at all?
No, we didn't. Okay. We didn't. I just hit Keanu and it was really amazing. But you asked me like if I choose somebody who killed me more, you know. And it was really, really amazing to be there. Like it's really amazing to be with Keanu and have that conversation with him and fighting scene with him. First time when I walked there and then we tried scene, I was like, first moment, I look him in the eyes, I supposed to say my lines. I was like, he say his line. I was like, huh? I was like, what this guy? Or like, I need to say something? Or like, you know, like, sorry guys, I really not remember my lines. Somebody help me because I work with real Keanu. It's not like, he's not just like movie.
I mean, he's Neo. He's John Wick. He's all the things.
Yes.
So are you familiar with the game Date, Marry, Kill?
No.
Okay. Well, real quick.
It's an amended title, by the way. But yeah.
So you can choose. I'm going to give you three versions of Keanu. John Wick. Keanu is Neo from The Matrix.
Matrix, okay, I know that.
Okay, or Keanu from as Johnny Utah from Point Break. Which one would you want to date, marry, or kill? Or just kill all of them? Or just marry all of them?
Date, marry, and kill?
Yeah, I didn't write the question. My producer did, so.
Okay. I was kill everybody. Okay. Let's go to kill better than date.
Okay.
There we go.
Sounds good.
So, Boban, are you a Game of Thrones fan at all?
No, but I will start to watch, to be honest.
Okay.
Like, because, like, you know, like a lot of people have that, like, they watch every single time. Like, hey, you watch Game of Thrones. I need to start to watch, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I have one question for you based on the show.
You know, like, I've really been bad because I don't watch.
I will show you, but I have the video to show
you. Okay, please. Show me before I respond because.
So I want to ask, I'm assuming in John Wick 3 that you're not the guy to take John Wick out, even though
nobody can take him out.
Exactly, right. So who has a better death, you in this movie or Aaron Rodgers in this clip from Game of Thrones?
I think my death is easier.
All right.
This was so painful when I watched.
It's a lot of
this was like, you know, like I really get like in some effort, but this is like, he was like, you cannot do anything.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, your scene is in a library.
My scene is library. You know, because before the movie, they catch me, I start to read and they catch me. Wow. It's like, you know, like what's happening? Like, let's go to shoot the movie. No, I'm joking. It's in a library. That'll be funny. It's not work. Yeah, sorry, guys. And,
You shush Keanu because you're in a library as you're battling.
Yeah, because secret, my library must be secret.
Be quiet,
yeah,
right? A lot of
people is there, you know.
Can you do a shush so that my producer
of
can
course.
Make a drop? That's for you, Herman.
I was just going to say, that's definitely getting thrown back in my face at some point.
But I was thinking we do different, we didn't do shh, we do like shh. Yeah, something like that, because they tell me you cannot say that word, you must say something else. Yeah, remember, it's that, it's that one.
It was an awesome scene. Okay, last question for you, and then I'm going to let you go. I know you're a busy guy.
No, so, I'm not a busy guy.
All right, well, hang out, man. Your people tell us you're super busy.
Kick your feet up.
You grew up in Serbia.
Okay.
Right, you found your way to basketball. Yes. You played for 8 different European teams. You became the most efficient scorer in NBA history.
You know, when you say that, I really like, I feel like so proud of myself.
Stand up tall,
yeah, this is me.
It's a lot more than either of us yokels have done. Yeah. Now you're part of one of the most successful action film franchises of the last decade. You have mentioned, based on this incredible journey that is your life, wanting to write like an inspirational book.
Yes.
What would you title it?
You know, now I have more stuff to add. You know, like it was like, you know, like I still, still, it's, the plan is in my head to be like, you know, like to be like, you know, like books to can read and like inspire for your like life, like more inspiration book, and to be like to like all kids never mind like when they do, why they're coming to like fighting for their lives, to fighting for their dreams, and like the basic story, nothing can stop you, to can be whatever you like. And we're everybody different, but end of the story, like we can fight for ourselves. And this is like my main thing, because I'm like different than like we everybody different, but I'm different like on different way. And this like helped me sometimes, and sometimes it was like hard part of my life. And I want show everything, like you can fight with everything to can be whatever you like.
So can I give you maybe just? I'm just going to pitch a title.
Please.
You don't even have to pay me for it, okay?
Please.
How about Play Big?
But I like it.
Yeah, yeah, you're welcome.
Honest. Yeah, I like it. Thank you very much.
From me to you.
Hey, look at
she,
that.
She already said that. No pay for that.
It's on record.
It's on record.
Thank you so much for being with
you,
us, Bevan.
Thank you guys. Thank really you guys for hearing me. Thank you on everything. It was really nice.
Be sure to check out John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum this
week. Yeah, check movie. Please check John Wick 3, check the movie, and you guys will have fun. Thank you.
So I did get killed again. You hung me out to dry with Boban.
That's
and
true.
His questions.
You did write it. That question.
You threw him right under the bus in front of like a 7-foot man.
7'3".
Oh, yeah.
Nice guy, though, by the way.
Excellent.
Very lovely.
Yeah, he was really cool. I think, honestly, he wanted to stay and do the rest of the podcast with us and not go do whatever the hell else they had him doing over there.
Like holding puppies.
Juggling
and
puppies and babies and stuff. Yeah. Like, well, look at you. You're a big guy. You want to hold small stuff? Great thought.
There is a subreddit called Boban Holds Things. So there is a precedent for that.
Yeah. So, they just took the low-hanging fruit. That's fine.
I had other questions to ask him. I want to talk more about John Wick, but I guess we'll just have to see the movie and then.
Yeah.
Hell yes, I love John Wick. Great, great movies.
What did you think of John Wick, Liz?
I thought it was a romp. A real romp.
A romp?
Yeah. Also, Theon Greyjoy is in that movie,
yeah.
And it was so tilting for me to be like,
to
hey!
Ice that off.
What?
Which one that?
Reek?
Who?
Reek?
Theon Greyjoy from Game of Thrones.
I don't watch the Dragon Show.
Oh, right, jeez. Anyways, right. But Liz, back to the people that are on the show.
Yeah.
I think that it was like, I think when I saw that movie, it was around the same time when Theon was like taking his real like asshole turn in Game of Thrones, where he's like pretending to kill Bran and like beheading that guy in Winterfell.
Also, God, he should have just killed Bran. I wish he hadn't mixed up those kids, because Christ.
Who said, oh man, I can't remember who it was that someone made a Jets comparison to Bran, like, oh, he's just this guy who just sits around and does nothing or whatever. I can't remember. Great audio here. But yeah, so Theon at that point was like the real just awful guy of the show. So I was like, yeah, this makes sense actually to see him be a terrible person in John Wick too. Now we've seen him like be a he was kind of redeemed in his final moments of Game of Thrones.
Well, I know we're not.
That's Boban shushing you.
I was like, what is that?
I thought it was Brett.
You asked for me to clip that out.
Yeah.
You did it so quickly.
So he shushed me like 3 times there, right? Well, fine. End the damn
That's
show.
That's the Boban shush. All right. Well, that is the end of the show. Not because Matt said so, but because I can't take any more of this.
Boban said so.
You can follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. Be sure to download the podcast and subscribe. If you subscribe, give us, well, not after this particular episode, maybe, but in general, a nice review rating. Just write something like, wow, Liz Loza, she has a sparkling personality, and Matt Harmon does not deserve to be killed, period. 5 stars. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram, as you know, at LizLoza_FF. This Yahoo over here is at Matt Harmon_BYB, and we are mercifully out.
I had fun.